In the world of manufacturing, change is the only constant. How are small and medium-sized manufacturers, SMMs, to keep up with new technologies, regulations, and other important shifts, let alone leverage them to become leaders in their industries? Shifting Gears, a podcast from CMTC, highlights leaders from the modern world of manufacturing, from SMMs to consultants to industry experts. Each quarter, we go deep into topics pertinent to both operating a manufacturing firm and the industry as a whole. Join us to hear about the manufacturing sector's latest trends, groundbreaking technologies, and expert insights to help SMMs in California set themselves apart in this exciting modern world of innovation and change. I'm Greg Profesich, Director of Advanced Manufacturing Technologies at CMTC, and I'd like to welcome you. In this episode, I am joined by Natalia Sefton, President and CEO of M&R Engineering, Sarah Myers, Founder and CEO of HMP, Hemp Made Products, and Lisa Anderson, Founder and President of LMA Consulting Group, Inc. Natalia, Sarah, and Lisa discuss their experiences as women in manufacturing, how they started out, their professional accomplishments, and the current state of opportunities for women in the industry. The group closes with advice for the next generation of women leaders and their predictions on where they see the manufacturing industry in the next 5 to 10 years. Welcome, Natalia. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very much, Greg. I'm very excited to be here.
Natalia, can you take a minute or two and tell us a little bit about yourself, your current role, and your company?
Absolutely. I'm currently the CEO and president of M&R Engineering. I'm also the owner of the company. So I have all those hats in one responsibility. We are a contract manufacturer specializing in precision machining for metal and plastic components. We work with aerospace, defense, commercial industries, just to name the few. We have over 100 customers across all those industries, and it's great to be here. I'm really excited to have this discussion today.
It's great to have you here, Natalia. Thank you. Thank you so much. So welcome, Lisa. I'm so happy you could join us today.
Great. I'm glad to be here.
Lisa, can you also take a few minutes and tell us a little bit about yourself, your current role, and your company?
Absolutely. So I am a consultant. I work for manufacturers and distributors to help them improve their overall performance and value. And I was a former vice president of operations and supply chain for a mid-market manufacturer. And now I've been consulting for about 16 years.
Sarah, glad to have you here as well.
Thanks for inviting me.
Sarah, can you also take a minute or two and tell us a little bit about yourself, your current role, and your company?
I own a commercial kitchen, and I incubate and co-pack, manufacture small businesses, as well as my own product, which is a non-dairy vegan cheese, as well as other products using hemp as its core ingredient.
Excellent. Excellent. And welcome. Thank you for being here today. So I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. The topic of women in manufacturing, I think, is particularly relevant. The manufacturing industry is facing an unprecedented shortage of skilled, qualified workers. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, an estimated 3.5 million jobs will go unfilled in the next 10 years. These jobs are not the dirty, hot, dangerous manufacturing world of our grandparents' era. They are the clean, modern, technology-centered manufacturing world of today, with roles from design and engineering, to the production floor, to supply chain, to the back office, to administrative and leadership roles. Roles that pay well, offer job stability, and great transferable skills, and are really deeply rewarding. Roles where women have been and continue to make real and lasting contributions. Each of you know these things firsthand, so let's get into some of your personal experiences. Tell us a little bit about your interest in manufacturing. How did you start out, and what has been your career path to your current role? Let's start off with Natalia.
Sure, Greg. It's always a pleasure to share my experience. I have a unique story. I came to the U.S. when I was 16. I came to a community college, Santa Monica Community College, fresh out of high school, not knowing anybody, knowing anything. I came to study business, and I quickly realized that there are a lot of American people, students that were studying business, and I had to differentiate myself. I wanted to get a job at the reputable company, and I was really good at math and science, and I took advantage of that. And when I transferred to USC, I got a degree in industrial and systems engineering. All alone, I never dreamed about working in manufacturing. Look at me now, I own a machining company. My real passion at the time was consulting. During my last year at USC, I had an opportunity to do an internship working for Alcoa Fastening Systems. And upon graduation a year into my consulting career, I got a call, and the person who I used to work for said, "Hey, you really need to come back. I'm starting this new job, and I need somebody who can help me, and you're really great, and why don't you start working for us as an engineer?" And that was a much bigger company, and I said, "Okay, well, let's give it a chance." So I worked for Alcoa for 14 years, giving it a chance. I was responsible for various size businesses. I got promoted early on in my career, and I had lots of opportunities. And every time there was an opportunity, I'd raise my hand and I say, "Hey, yes, I sign me up. I want to do more. I want to learn more, and I want to contribute to the business." I was very successful improving the bottom line and developing employees. And 14 years later, I had another opportunity to run a smaller size business, M&R Engineering, as a CEO. I joined the company. A few years into it, I bought it. And the last 3 years, I've been running and operating our contract manufacturing company, and the rest is history.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing. So Lisa, how about if you go next?
All right. So I started with my interest in manufacturing in college. I tried different majors. I thought perhaps I'd be interested in engineering, perhaps accounting. So I tried different avenues, and then I took an operations management course. And then I found that really spoke to me because it was much more about how to optimize many competing variables. It wasn't black and white. I enjoyed it more. We did a senior project that was managing multiple variables in essence in a manufacturing company. So that was an exciting project. And I utilized that project on my resume to help me land my first job, which was at Coca-Cola Enterprises. And I ended up planning production for the West Coast facilities. So that was a great role to start with out of college. I really enjoyed that process. I went to a plastic injection molder a few years later, and I did production planning, purchasing, and I learned about inventory management as well in that role. And then a few years after that, I went to an absorbent products manufacturer, and I did pretty much every role within supply chain, a few in operations, until we bought a division of P&G and also bought a smaller entrepreneurial company at the same time that it was Y2K. So we were also, of course, implementing a new ERP system just to make things interesting. And I was promoted into the position of vice president of operations and supply chain. And we did find private equity backers. There was a whole host of activities in terms of relaunching product lines and then turning around the production facilities and doing all sorts of other activities in terms of freight and supply chain as well. So after that role, I thought, why not put all this to great use? And that's when I started consulting. So I've been consulting now for the last 16 years, working with manufacturers and distributors to help them improve their operations and their overall business performance.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Lisa. So Sarah, tell us a little bit about your interest in manufacturing. How did you start out, and what has been your career path to your current role?
Well, I started out really when I was pretty young, just always seeing a hole and wanting to fill it. Being an entrepreneur, I think it's just in my blood. It's in my family's blood. I had an invention that I grew and sold when I was living in Canada. It was a finger toothbrush. So, the first thing where I really officially went into business after college was music publishing. I saw a need. I was in copyright, working for an agency, and I saw a need in music publishing in Jamaica, being my background is Jamaican and Indian, and that gave me the foundation in intellectual properties as well as contract negotiation. So then fast forward, got married, moved to California, had a family, and immediately saw another need here, which was healthy fast food. In Jamaica, we have a product called the Jamaican Patty, which is similar to a Spanish empanada. And so I decided I was going to open up a commercial facility to make Jamaican patties. And this was a huge undertaking. I mean, not being in the food business, I had a lot to learn. So that is kind of where I set out with the commercial kitchen. In 2007, when I opened the facility, the recession pretty much hit, and all the doors that were open to me back then for this product quickly closed. People were no longer in those positions, or they couldn't afford the product, or they weren't bringing on anything new. So I had to pivot. Pivoting has been something I think I've been doing since I started manufacturing. So we pivoted to event catering, productions, movie sets, whatever I could get to pay the bills, I did. But I realized that I could take the lessons that I've learned over the years managing and operating this facility and pass it on to other people that had ideas to go into the food business. A lot of people have ideas to go into the food business and they think it's an easy thing, but it's very difficult. It takes huge amounts of money, and there's endless certifications and learning curves. I decided at that point that I was going to incubate other businesses, and that would allow me more time with my family and keep the bills paid at the kitchen.
Thank you for sharing. Three very impressive and very diverse backgrounds. I think some common themes are coming out, though. Seizing opportunity, continuously learning, pivoting, continuously looking to challenge yourself, and to look for opportunities to serve and to balance things in your lives is what I'm hearing so far. So what is it about manufacturing that keeps you coming back for more? What do you love about it? Lisa, why don't we start with you this time?
I would say what I love about manufacturing is that there's always something new to be considering. There's many variables that you have to think through. It's not a black or white situation. In addition to having the multiple variables, there's people, there's processes, there's systems, there's how do you bring all these pieces together. It's exciting and it can have a significant impact down the line. So every product that's manufactured creates jobs and entire ecosystems. So there's a lot that manufacturing has to offer. And I think that it's also where you're producing something of value.
Sarah, what are your thoughts? What is it about manufacturing that keeps you coming back for more?
I agree with Lisa 100%. I love the creative process. It's exciting to hear somebody's product idea. I try to help people adjust before too much is spent and invested. That's really what keeps me coming back. I love creating and I love filling holes and creating great food products for people that I know are wholesome and nutritious.
I also like to echo with Lisa's point, the value add of manufacturing, something that you can touch the products that you make, then you know you go to consumer shelf, and again, we're contract manufacturer, B2B products, airplane parts and fasteners, but you don't realize how important they are until you get on that plane and you see a collar on that entry door, you're like, oh, I probably made those. The second part is I'm personal. I'm a problem solver. So I love the opportunity every day. And trust me, every day there is an opportunity to solve a problem. It's an eternal problem solving that manufacturing brings to you. You always looking for your root cause analysis, what happened, why it didn't work, and the other part too. You always have an opportunity to start clean. So anything that didn't work out and you learn with time that, hey, you know what? It was a bad month, but we will fix A, B, and C. And next month is going to be better. And you put actions to play and you measure your results. And that's very gratifying to see that what you do is paying off. And I love my job.
I know that each of you has made a significant contribution to your companies and to your industries across your careers. What professional accomplishment are you most proud of and why? Sarah, maybe we'll start with you this time.
I'm really most proud of the businesses that were born out of my facility who have made it and gone on to become their own manufacturer. And that has, you know, really translated into so many more jobs and wonderful products. And at the same time, I'm thrilled with what I have developed with our hemp-made products. It's an exciting time to be in the market with a plant-based, sustainable superfood. You know, it's really at the forefront of the trend. So I'm really most proud of that. But ultimately, I would say that my proudest moment is that I know that I raised three boys 1.5 years apart while doing all this.
Absolutely. Those are some amazing accomplishments. I hear all of you talking about the sense that you're making a contribution to society. You're filling basic needs and that you're using your creativity and your problem-solving skills to do it. I think that's the thing that, to me, is the most exciting about manufacturing. It's tangible. So next up, Natalia, you've made some significant contributions across your career as well. What professional accomplishment are you most proud of and why?
Greg, I'd like to answer that in twofold. One is, of course, I'm an engineer and being an entrepreneur and owner of the company and seeing the company grow and our great reputation in the industry, that I can be proud about it. It's been great. The second part is, while I was at Alcoa Fastening Systems, I was a president of Alcoa Fastening Systems Women's Network, and that talks about results and how you see other people flourish in the company. When I started in that position, there were just a few women participating quarterly. I've created a very robust leadership development program, and we used to fill the room in with 40 women participating every quarter because they couldn't get enough of the self-development and opportunities. It was great. I'm really proud of that.
Excellent. Lisa?
I would say that working with clients to help them gain substantial results, both from turning around a situation from providing service levels of like 50, 60% to bringing it up rapidly to, you know, the high 90s, in addition to providing more of a superior customer experience, that's very exciting for my clients. They can build their business and their customers are much happier. Also, working with clients to see their employees go from following processes, because that's what they've been trained to follow, to understanding how they fit into the big picture, the value they're bringing to the business, and become engaged, much more proactive, innovative, and productive. That's really exciting to see, as well as, of course, increasing profitability and increasing your inventory turns and accelerating cash flow. So, you know, just seeing the results happen is, I think, very exciting.
All very multifaceted levels of reward, from personal to professional to helping other people and to helping develop other people throughout your manufacturing careers.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about role models. Have you had any role models or mentors in your career? If so, who are they and how do they inspire you?
Well, I've had many, so we couldn't talk about them all. My first boss out of college was a distribution leader at Coca-Cola. And she took a chance on a new, fresh out of college talent that she could see had some new and interesting ideas. And I learned a lot from her, especially on the transportation replenishment type of thinking. In my next role, I actually met a mentor that was related to finance. So I learned a whole lot about inventory and how it all related to the financials. At my next job, I met several mentors. One was the head of operations. You know, it's funny, I recently had a client that reminded me a whole lot of this person. His name's Dave Franklin. And he just was very upfront, down to earth. He held high standards, but at the same time, he was very appreciative and genuine type mentor. So I met him. I also met an HR mentor that, without her, I would never have been able to get through how to deal with difficult people, the whole organizational development side of operations, which is the 80-20 of success and making lasting change occur. I've been very fortunate to find mentors all along the road. Very few, if any, of these were formal mentors. I just chose them along the way, and you know, I was very fortunate to find them.
So in that choosing, was it just that you got a sense that this was somebody I could learn from? What did that process look like for you as you went through it?
Yeah, I've always been good at seeing trends and seeing people that I respect. Like even like the worst boss that I ever worked for, which I won't name. But basically, even the worst boss that I ever worked for, you learn something from everyone. So I found people along the way that I respected a certain aspect of what they did. And many times they didn't really know they were a mentor anyhow. But basically, you would just ask questions. I mean, if you're trying to provide value to folks that are mentoring you, they're more than happy to help you along the way. It becomes a win-win sort of relationship.
So Sarah, let's talk a little about your experience.
Like Lisa, I've had many. Some I chose just seeing that they had knowledge that I really wanted to learn. others chose me. Early on in my food manufacturing, Jackie Beiser from Jackie's Best was extremely generous to me with his time and expertise. I don't know what I would have really done without him, because there was such a learning curve in food manufacturing. And at that point, you know, when you've invested all this money, you know, it's like, what are you going to do? You're just going to, you just have to learn. You have to, you know, work your way through it and make it work somehow. Just being able to turn to somebody that you trust that can just keep you going or gives you the right advice and has the contacts that you need.
Natalia, your thoughts on roles and mentors?
Early on in my career, when I just started to work for Alcoa Fastening Systems, Olivier Giraud, he was the president of the company at the time, and he had a great vision. He had a way to motivate people. He also taught not just me, I think the whole company, financial discipline. So you know your KPIs, know your leading lagging indicators. How do you make the P&L work in the right direction? What are the levers of the success? So that was really important. The other person, Sean Costavani, who gave me that opportunity and was my champion, really, to present to a president within, you know, the first year of being on the job. Sean Costavani made me believe in myself that I could do anything. And that was very important. Sometimes you need to help the people around you to gain the confidence and feel like they can walk across water and do everything that you need them to do or they need themselves to do. And lastly, my last mentor that I'd like to mention is Kristen Wally. She was my formal mentor. She worked for ADP at the time. She helped me to see that you need to motivate people differently. So every person needs to be treated the way they want to be treated. Don't just treat them the way you want to be treated, because your buttons are maybe completely different. And things that motivate you may not necessarily motivate somebody else. So that is very important when we deal with people, when we own our own business, when we deal with customers, vendors, suppliers.
So as I listen to the three of you talking about your mentors, I hear you talking about both the technical skills, but also very much the soft skills, the people skill side, how you manage and motivate and inspire. For young women emerging into the workforce, what's the current state of opportunities for women in manufacturing?
In the food business, there is a lot of women emerging in the food business. We have great ideas. We want to feed the world. We have nutrition on our mind first, and that is where we're moving collectively as a population. So it is expanding for women in food. Previously, I would say no. There's more awareness of the need for women to have equal equity in business. So government and private sector are proving and providing more opportunities for women to help close the gap. And I think we're seeing more contracts being awarded to women-owned businesses. We've still got quite a ways to go before we're on level ground, but we're moving in the right direction.
Thank you. Natalia, your thoughts?
I think there are lots of opportunities right now in the machining world. Women, men, anybody who's willing to learn and develop themselves and put their 100% out there and work hard, there are lots of opportunities. If you want to work from the ground level, there are opportunities. If you want to work on the engineer level, there are opportunities. If you want to go to business school and earn your MBA, there are opportunities on every level of the organization. And you may end up in the same spot. You may end up on top of the organization, leading the organization, regardless what career path you choose. As long as you're willing to work hard and you're willing to take the opportunities and risks. But also, I think what's interesting about the environment right now is that, at least in the machining world, it is not the same industry that it was 20 years or even 5 years ago. When we think about manufacturing it, you know, it's a dingy, dark place, hard hats, very dirty. A lot of the machines are using very clean coolants. Machines are much quieter now. But at M&R Engineering, we are investing in the future. We are investing in the work environment. And today, you not necessarily have to be able to bench 50 pounds to do the job. You can program the machine. You can do a setup, even if you don't have the physical attributes of a man. Not to say, you know, we have more women on the shop floor, but we'd like to at least even the scale as we move forward.
Excellent. Thank you. Lisa, your thoughts?
There's a vast opportunity for women in manufacturing from all levels, from entry level through executives and by sector. I mean, I work with clients in the food and beverage industry, in building and construction products, healthcare and bioscience. And I find that across the board, they're looking for talented people who are interested in innovating, utilizing additional technology, and who are looking at how to increase the customer experience, profitability, cash flow, and how to put all these pieces together. So it really doesn't matter whether you're a woman, a man, old, young. I find that manufacturers is a great place to go because on the whole, they're interested in finding talent. They're looking for the future of manufacturing. And I think women have a significant opportunity. What I have found is that if you believe that you have an opportunity, you will have an opportunity. If you believe that you're a woman in manufacturing and that that's a problem for some reason, you will have a problem. If you're a woman and you are interested in the opportunity, go for it and don't even be thinking about what you know, being a woman and what that means. So I find that you can be extremely successful that way.
Great advice. Thank you, Lisa. On the topic of advice, I think, Lisa, you got us started there. The next question is all about what advice you would give to young women who are exploring educational options and making decisions about their career. Is there a best way to go, a preferred way to go? Natalia, why don't we start off with you?
I think you need to be bold. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of math. Don't be afraid of science as you're choosing your career path. If you like doing those things, or try it. Some people cut themselves short by not even saying, you know, I'm not good at math. I'm not good at business. I don't even want to try it. I've talked to many high school students and they shine away from technical fields. If you are at the university or community college or wherever your education takes you, try everything. Try as many things as you can and see what you like, because what things you may think you don't like, you may really enjoy and excel in. And at that point, your table stakes are very low. What's the worst that can happen? You pass the class, you get some credits, and you realize you're not going to make the worst mistake in your life and choose the wrong career path. That advice I can give you is along the same lines, talk to different people, do internships. Because as you do those internships, you realize, and as many as you can get under your belt before you graduate, every summer you should be doing something. You can learn about different industries from people or from hands-on experience. Do you know every aspect of this job? Make that your passion, because if you're not doing something new, if you're not searching for things that you can excel in through your life, you can just waste 20 years in a company that you don't like and you don't enjoy. But without trying, you'll never know what makes you happy. Network with people, call up some business owners and say, hey, I really would like to learn about this industry. If you don't have an internship, I'm really excited about your company. Can you, you know, have an Zoom call with me, because that's what we're all doing. And you'd be surprised how many people will come forward and say, yeah, sure, not a problem. I'd like to share my experience. What questions do you have? And that kind of initiative that will differentiate you from other people.
I really like what Natalia said about being bold and having confidence. And one of the things you can do if you're feeling a little tentative is pretend as though you have confidence until you have confidence, because sometimes it's sort of like smiling. If you smile, you might just become happy. But one of the ways that you can build on that is by having a broad range of skills. I think in today's world in manufacturing, it's going to be challenging to be a specialist in just one sliver of the pie. What every manufacturing client is looking for is people with a broad range of skills. So look at operations, look at planning, purchasing, accounting, HR. You can try your hat building your skills around several of those topics. And then you can always expand upon that with internships. If you have trouble finding an internship, don't give up. Make an offer of some way you can provide value to someone you know who's in manufacturing. And really overall, I find that women in manufacturing, but it's true of no matter if you're a woman or a man, and that is there's the technical side, and then there's the presentation style or communication style side. And you have to have both. If you focus all of your energies on the technical side, you could be the best technician there is, and you'll probably be overlooked for almost every role, unfortunately, because that's just how it works. So you really need to be competent, because no one wants an empty suit, if you will. So you need to be competent and always building upon your skills and continually learning. But at the same time, you got to focus on the communications, presentation. How do you talk to peers? How do you talk to managers? How do you talk to people who work for you someday? So like learn about it and try it out. Search out mentors. Find a path where you can try, you can fail, you can try again, and don't give up, and you'll eventually be successful. So it's very important to stay connected with groups of influence, if you will. So there could be groups of colleagues, former colleagues, current colleagues, groups like trade associations, where you can gain experiences related to your field. Then there's industry groups, so you can continue to learn about your industry. So stay connected to all these different communities and be continually learning and continually building upon your skills in terms of technical and communication presentation. You can turn 1 + 1 into 21.
That's powerful. Sarah, your thoughts on advice?
I recommend just knowing your strengths and your aptitudes. Being an entrepreneur, it's not for the faint of heart. It's constant. You wake up, you go to sleep thinking about your business. And so you have to be practical and, you know, not let resources prevent you from following your dream. Make sure what you decide to study is at least a passion of yours, so you spend your days doing what you love and believe in. You know, never to be afraid to ask. The worst thing that can happen for someone is that they hear the word no. So you just, you know, you keep on. Do your research, be on top of what the trends are so you can capitalize on being ahead of the curve. Stand up and demand what's equitable treatment for you as a woman. Yeah, but most of all, be fearless and resilient.
Excellent advice. Thank you, Sarah. So the last question to wrap up here, where do you see the manufacturing industry in the next 5 to 10 years?
I mean, I think the most important topic about manufacturing right now is sustainability. It's a huge cost to the manufacturer to become a certified facility. It's constantly evolving, so we have to keep up with that. The compliance, the verification, it makes it hard for the little guy. So small manufacturing facilities like mine find it difficult these days just because of the mere cost of keeping up with technology and becoming a sustainable business.
I think manufacturing industry is going, at least on the machining side, it's going through some level of consolidation. It's fueled by the generational shift. A lot of baby boomers are retiring. So what happens to the businesses? They either get gobbled up by these giant private equities that consolidate into bigger companies, or younger generation, the children or the grandchildren are stepping up and running those businesses. So it's a very interesting shift. Hopefully there are lots of opportunities during that time. We also see millennials actively in the business, and now you have Gen Z entering workforce. So there's a lot of things that we need to change to adapt to the new generation. The whole notion that, you know, they will do it the way we did it, it's just not going to work. So the new generation is really aware about the environment. It costs money to be more environmentally friendly, but you know what? That's important for us. And the last thing, as I mentioned earlier in our conversation, is that technology and automation will be on the forefront of the growth. There will be jobs where you're not just operating equipment, you are dealing with sensors and you're programming robots, and there will be lots of technical opportunities, and it's a very exciting time for the manufacturing industry.
Lisa, anything to add to those concepts?
But yeah, I see that the future of manufacturing is bright. They're going to need more people, more talent than ever before. As the labor cost of products has been coming down in relation to the other costs, as the negative effects of sourcing from places like China have come to light, as we've realized that we can implement technology in a way that will allow us to be more flexible so we can provide a superior customer experience closer to where our customers are, and we can do so fast. We can be very responsive. And at the same time, we can focus on not only being cost efficient, we can add resiliency to that mix. So we can be equally as focused on resiliency as we are cost. I see that there's a very bright future for manufacturing. It's gaining in popularity and it's going to continue to rise. So I think that, you know, the future is bright.
I think you're right on target with the resiliency aspect of it as well, and adding to the environmental piece and really the technology piece. So thank you so much, each of you, for your comments. So I'm going to try to do a quick summary here. There are lots of opportunities for women in manufacturing. The key is for young women coming in or considering the industry to seize those opportunities. Learn, challenge yourself, be willing to pivot. It's an incredibly rewarding career because it's about creating value. It's about making things that are tangible, that help satisfy basic human needs. I see lots of opportunities for problem solving in doing that. It's about helping others, helping other people expand their careers, as well as creating jobs, high-paying and good-paying jobs that help have a multiplier effect on the economy. I think the statistic is for every manufacturing job in the economy, 2.5 other jobs are created in support of the direct manufacturing role. Look for mentors, some formal, some informal, but learn something from everyone. Ask questions, be continuously sponging in information. Learn the technical, the hard skills about costing, about the engineering, about the setting up things, about how operations and distribution and all those things work. Also the soft skills, how to get along, how to work, how to adapt and work with different people, the importance of working hard, taking advantage of opportunities, taking risks and managing those risks effectively and intelligently. Perhaps one of the most important things is the belief to go after what you want. Don't let anything stand in your way. Be bold, talk to people, learn, try different experiences, network, make learning your passion, project confidence. Sometimes you really don't know. You're new at something. You don't have the confidence, but project it anyway. Keep developing that broad range of skills. Don't be a specialist, but develop a broad range of skills and work that develop the skills in balance. Again, the hard side, soft side thing. Those are the key points I took away from our discussion. Did I miss anything?
You do a very good job writing. Copy.
You covered it well.
Well, thank you for that. Natalia, Lisa, Sarah, thank you so very much for being here today. Really appreciate you joining me and sharing your perspectives, your insights, your personal experiences with both me and with our listeners.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Yes, it has been a pleasure. Thank you.
To our listeners, thank you for joining me for this conversation with Natalia Sefton, Lisa Anderson, and Sarah Myers in discussing women in manufacturing. Thank you so much for your time. Have a great day. Stay safe and healthy. Thank you for listening to Shifting Gears, a podcast from CMTC. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and post it on your social media platforms. You can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcast directory. For more information on our topic, please visit www.cmtc.com/shiftinggears. CMTC is a private nonprofit organization that provides technical assistance, workforce development, and consulting services to small and medium-sized manufacturers throughout the state of California. CMTC's mission is to serve as a trusted advisor, providing solutions that increase the productivity and competitiveness of California's manufacturers. CMTC operates under a cooperative agreement for the state of California with the Hollings Manufacturing Extension Partnership Program, MEP, at the National Institutes of Standards and Technology within the Department of Commerce. For more information about CMTC, please visit www.cmtc.com. For more information about the MEP National Network, or to find your local MEP center, visit www.nist.gov/MEP.